more 10 times higher than other sexuality people, including heterosexual or cisgender people. Yeah.
Yeah, that's huge.
That's very huge, very serious, big serious. Yeah.
Yeah, it's big serious.
Yeah.
And that is a number where there's a modicum of support, you know? Whereas what we're seeing now in the States, where this support is being withdrawn and this affirming care is being withdrawn, then what I predict is that level of anxiety and, you know, looking for a way out of that anxiety is going to increase.
Yeah.
And, you know, gender affirming care comes with a certain amount of mental health support.
Yeah. I think the under 90 years age people should have access to mental health care. So that's why the limiting or regulation of the gender affirming care would be stopped, yeah, I think.
It's definitely going to put some pressure on the people who are living in the margins in terms of you know, what is considered sexual identity and you know, and driving that quote unquote norm here. And you know, we've seen this already coming to light in Canada also with oh, it's funny, my friend, she just calls him PP. And so when I go to think of what his name is, I can hardly think about it because that's who he is to me. But you know, he's been sort of caught in the crossfire of denying that trans folks exist in, especially in First Nations communities. There were some words, and you know, they have a long history of two-spirit humans who, you know, have been the medicine people, and you know, they are able to intersect these two worlds, right? Because
Gender world, right?
they don't live in just one world, you know? They have an appreciation for both the masculine and the feminine.
And this, yeah, gender, cultural things and the structural things, right? Yeah, I think, in my opinion, men become men in home social and women become women, yeah, in the as by the society structure, yeah.
Yeah, it's very driven
Yeah.
by the ways that we think and how that structure and that system is built for
True.
us, right? And the ways that we get conditioned into those roles.
True, yeah.
You know, the other thing that is really troublesome about this new order in the United States especially, and is that it cuts off anybody who is sort of midstream of hormonal therapy or anything like that, yeah, right? Oh. Right? And so these suspended care aspects of people who are in a particular point in transition,
yeah,
that becomes, I would imagine that becomes dangerous.
Yeah, that's dangerous. Yeah, the kind of action will be implicated really. The transgender people who took a surgery already will be on the dangerous position, I think. Because the transgender people who took a surgery yet don't have organs who create a new hormone, then they need a hormone therapy, hormone treatment. Yeah, so that's why that kind of regulation would be crazy serious for transgender people. Yeah, I don't want the kind of situation come to the United States anymore.
Yeah. The other, you know, sort of slippery slope about this is that as neighbors to the United States, which you know is a big power, there will be some influence, I guess, on what happens here in Canada to our own thinking about healthcare.
Yeah.
And the ways that we are navigating these issues ourselves, but also for, you know, and again, I'll bring it back to, you know, when Roe versus Wade was being challenged a few years ago, and there was a real fear about, you know, women seeking abortion in the States who couldn't access that, coming to Canada and overburdening our system with the need. And, you know, that might, depending on, you know, people's access to funds and, you know, all of that kind of stuff, it's not exactly the same here because, you know, there's a lot of pay-for-service medicine in the States that we don't have here. But nonetheless, we could see some overload,
yeah,
you know, on our own system, depending on how that actually fleshes out. What I learned about this purge of information also is that there's information that's available to the public, and you know, for you know, people themselves who are curious about what sexual health is and looks like for you know, queer and trans people, but also for loved ones, family members who might not know where to go and you know, where to turn to find information. That is unavailable to them now also.
I think so. I'm interested in the how Trump's this policy can affect the sex education in the United States. Maybe the information about LGBTQ or SOGI, sexual orientation and gender identity, will not be taught by the school to the children in the future during the Trump regime. I think ignorance would be the serious and also the so negative for the part of the sexual minority and also other people. Yeah.
And I mean, even here in Canada, where we have a lot more liberal kind of mind about it, and and not this executive order that slashes and dashes, we still have difficulty with Soji.
Very difficulty.
You know, and there's a lot of backlash.
Some parents group opposite the Soji program recently, right? I've heard that this kind of news.
Lots of protests about it. There's parents who don't believe that kids of any age should be taught sexual health and sex education in school, period. And then when that sexual health includes, you know, the broader spectrum of what it means to sexually identify, and, you know, the different kinds of health issues and health matters that the different identities sort of require, really turn into quite a soup out there. What's also difficult in the States about this loss of information, and, you know, the slate being kind of wiped clean of all of this information, is that for healthcare practitioners, they've been reliant also on being able to refer to this information that has been, you know, gathered over time and, you know, with data and research and best practices, and has created sort of a standard of care that they don't have reference to anymore.
Unfortunately,
you know, and so there's this, it's like we've gone back to the Wild West or something in in terms of medicine for people who are needing a different kind of medicine than you know what heterosexual cisgender folks need. And it's going to become just a guessing game. Which again comes back to danger.
And also I think the part of the sexual minority, that if the sexual cannot access to the information of the Soji, sexual orientation and gender identity, then also information about the LGBTQ, their anxiety will worsen because of the ignorance due to the information limitation.
And, you know, that level of intolerance. I think also, you know, when there's intolerance at the policy level,
in the United States,
then intolerance at the grassroots level, is justified, by the policy, and so,
so sad.
It is,
yeah.
You know, because the safety measures or, you know, the realities of just being able to live with any kind of sense of social security or personal security are diminished in that environment.
Yeah, yeah.
And, yeah. Yes. We're in for a little bit of a... little bit of a wild ride, I think, to say lightly. The reality is, and you mentioned this, Hotaru, that there's a difference between states.
Yeah, true.
Right, and how they're applying this new order.
This new order, yeah.
And so for some, they're really adhering to this only affects the under 19 years old people.
Yeah, yeah.
But some states can decide for themselves that they want to restrict everyone, even legal adults. And each state has a different age of majority. Some states you're 18, some states you're 19, some states you're 21, right? And so there's also this sort of fluidity or this flexibility within what does being adult mean. And in this article that I'm referring to a little bit here, they talk about Florida and Idaho have already ruled or have already rolled out restrictions on adult care.
Oh, really?
And so that's a slippery slope for other states to get on board and follow through with similar restrictions on adult care as well. So it's... It'll be interesting to follow and see what happens. I don't have it in front of me, but I was reading, and this is encouraging, that there is a woman, and I'm sure she's not acting alone because it's a lot of work, but she's been downloading information from the CDC website to, you know, house it on her own computer or on her own server or something, so that information is not lost completely to the bank of knowledge that we have access to somewhere, you know, that someone somewhere knows what's going on. But of course, you know, that is a danger in itself.
Yeah.
You know, she's putting herself at risk by collecting and housing this information. And I mean, I don't want to be conspiratorial and paranoid, but, you know, when the government doesn't want you to do something that the government doesn't want you to do, it will step in.
Yeah.
And, you know, with all of these ways that we're, you know, we've got Big Brother and AI and, you know, things that listen and watch and it's pretty easy to, you know, or it's not that easy to slip under the radar any longer. anything that you want to sort of mention before we move on about this topic? What have we missed?
Recently, I was so impressed by the Lady Gaga's speech in the Grammy. Then she said, all trans people should deserve to be loved. Then I am the product of the intersex. Let me explain what is intersex. The intersex refers to people who are born with one or more traits in their chromosomes, genitals, hormones, or internal reproductive organs that don't fit the typical male or female. In my case, I was born without uterus and vagina, therefore I can't be pregnant and have never had a period in my life. Yeah, so I was very damaged by the action from Trump recently. But at the same time, I was so impressed by Lady Gaga's speech. I very feel afraid of how the Trump anti-LGBTQ policy affect the world widely. I hope here Canada will not change and be affected this trend in United States. Yeah.
Yes, me too.
Yeah, you too. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. It's nice to see when people in power, mm-hmm. social power, like mm-hmm. Lady Gaga,
mm-hmm. yeah.
Are able to use their voice.
Yeah, but yesterday the female musician, the Pink also mentioned about LGBTQ in Grammy. I'm not familiar with that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so people using their voice with a platform to speak out and say, you know, this shouldn't be happening. This is wrong. You know, people need to be seen and heard and loved, as Lady Gaga just plain and simply says. You know, so yeah. Very, very critical and important stuff. I'm going to play another song here, and again, this one comes from a press release that I got sent, and we'll be back again with just a very short announcement on an event that's coming up in the next little while. So this is Ollie Owens and a track called Shivers and Butterflies here on Intravenous.
Do for you.
There with butterflies and shivers and butterflies. Just a final note here on the program. This also comes from the Women Transforming Cities newsletter. There are two upcoming workshops, webinars, put on by the Living in Community folks who are advocates for safe sex work and sex workers' rights. And they've got a toolkit outlining recommendations for folks in any sector to be part of the movement for sex workers' rights. And these two webinars, one on February the 11th and one on February the 18th, will inform you on their recommendations on what governments can do when it comes to supporting sex worker safety and autonomy. And again, I'll post the link to that in the show notes for the program. That is it for us today. Thanks so much for listening. And stay tuned. Democracy Now! Is coming right up.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, thank you for listening today.